said he didn't see him.
No, that's not what you said. You said he didn't. He didn't care.
All right.
Same thing.
All right, then. Doesn't make any difference. I don't want to be argumentative with the linguistics, but that notion, that concept, is doesn't settle with me. I don't like that. I don't think that's right. But I'm sure it's subject to some sort of. I mean, I'm not sure when I think about it what doesn't care means. Certainly there's a recognition. Certainly there's a loving kindness. Certainly there's a notion of hope that they can get it together or something. I don't know. It just is raw to me.
Well, I mean, it was raw to me too, but it's still. If the human race died on the cross, then.
Okay, the human race died on the cross. I'm not sure I can get there from God doesn't care about non-believers. That doesn't.
Well,
he does care about non-believers.
Here's what the Holy Spirit is doing in the world. He's convicting the world of sin. And of righteousness and of judgment. Those are the three things that the Holy Spirit is doing. So he convicts the world of sin because they believe not on him. Now, he convicts us too. But it's not a tell you what, let's do. Let's put it in abeyance for right now, because we got so much to do for Passover. Let's just understand that the Passover is the dividing line. It's the beginning of time for believers. No matter when your experience with God occurred, from God's standpoint, it occurred on Passover. There's only one Passover, just like there's only one cross, there's only one resurrection. Today is Passover. Today is Purim. Today is, and so we must see that we were as the flesh, as the human race, if you will, we were there. At every level, from Abel on to the end. I mean, that's what it says. I brought unto you fathers because you've been with him from the beginning. Do you understand that's what born again means, from the first estate? But as you see that more and more, you understand more and more your guilt, your sin. You see that you, in fact, are the chief of sinners from the beginning of time. So the whole issue of God is waiting for people to come to the end of themselves, waiting for people to come to the end so that true repentance is possible. Now, but for today, I just want you to understand, let's listen to it from the standpoint of this reading that we do. Where it says everybody reads, and then it says everybody, man, let's just go to the first one. It says, of old many miracles did thou perform wondrously at night, and the earliest of the watches of this night to Abraham, the righteous convert, did thou grant victory in the division of the night. Let's see, and it says, everybody says, and it came to pass at midnight. Now, what are they talking about? And that's what we want to. It's to me, everything has to concentrate today and from now on until about Passover. All of our thought process, all of our, it has, should have been the last 30 days. That's what we tried to do. And it's, if it's possible to set aside these issues that you may have until after Passover, I'd appreciate it. It's because they have nothing to do with Passover, except to understand that the death angel, he didn't have any mercy. Everybody that wasn't under the blood was wiped out. The firstborn was wiped out. Boom.
If those under the blood inside, righteous, unrighteous,
didn't matter.
They were protected because God sent Christ on the doorpost of his blood.
And again, as we talked about, that what God saw was the blood, therefore he saw that there was death. And that they were already dead in spirit. That's the whole meaning of it. But what the firstborn of the entire nation of Egypt was killed. Now that's not only a historical event, that's a parable. Part of the parable of that mystery is the flesh cannot enter in under the blood. So that's why the fast of the firstborn is everybody, because you were the firstborn after the flesh and then Jesus. Then you're born again, so your only identity is him. So, I mean, it's... there's so much... again, it's comic book theology. It's what you think. You've created a God in your own image, or what you want, or what you think is just, or what you think is right. Just look at the Old Testament. If there was the possibility of the seed of Adam first being mixed, then the world was destroyed, except for the eight. There was no... during the whole idea after Abraham, they wiped out every man, woman, and child in cities and nations to protect the seed of Abraham. And now the same. Everything has only to do with the seed of Christ. So as long as you look at it from man's point of view, none of this is going to make any sense. Just because it riles against everything in you. God can't do anything wrong. God, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's the whole influence of the Greek philosophy on Christianity. I mean, you have to come to terms with this. Is it right, in my mind, for God to have wiped out every man, woman, and child because there was a possibility of the seed of Adam being mixed? No, it's not right. But it happened. Unless you don't believe the Bible.
It happened at God's command.
Huh?
It happened at his command.
That's right. Well, no, here I was talking about when the flood. When the flood came and wiped out everyone and everything. But it was, yeah, it's still at God's command. But the Israel had to wipe out. I mean, it's just blood curling. But it was really happened for our benefit, so we could see that the only enemy in us now is our mind. That happened for our benefit, so that we could have some understanding. And that's same as Passover, the same as, you know, my God, this is the oldest celebration in the history of the world. 3,500 years of continuous, well, more than that now. It was 3,500 years, excuse me. Passover has been celebrated continuously somewhere by someone. It's a big, big deal. It's the beginning of a spiritual life. It's the beginning of a journey from the death and destruction of the world to the mercy seat. Here's what happens, and it's very clear, it happens. That's what the mystery of the golden calf was. They needed, Moses was gone. He was their leader. They needed to have an image to worship. So they built a golden calf, which it was to the God that it was honoring God for delivering them from Egypt.
Best they could do.
And that's what we do. We create a God that meets the standards of our glory image, what we think is true and right and correct. And I promise you, if you do that, you're not going to see him. You're going to see a just God in your mind. You got to define it. You redefine it. Does that make any sense? It bothers me as much as it bothers you.
We're going to say a just God?
You create a God that is just after your understanding of justice.
I'm going to see a just God. If I do that, I'm going to see a just God.
After your understanding of what justice means. And it will be a God that's pleasing to men. And that's why Paul said it so clearly, if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. There is nothing about this mystery that is pleasing to men. That's why you must be crucified unto the world and the world crucified unto you. The world crucified unto you means, and you unto the world. There's nothing about you that anyone in the world would want. There's nothing about Jesus Christ that anyone in the world wants. Because he is the mortal enemy of any kind of self-realization. That's all your mind is capable of. Your understanding of God is based on your mind.
Right. You'll come up with the best one that fits your plan. That's why the cross had to be.
I mean, we can go, you know, we can go through scripture after scripture. I mean, unless you think God is acting differently now, he's a different God than he was with Noah, or that he was with. Don't you understand? Our understanding of this mystery will be corrupted. And you may very well reject it because it doesn't meet your image. That's what happened. That's the perfect thing. God did not meet, God incarnate did not meet the standards of the Jews at the time of Christ. Everyone yelled, "Crucify him," or was silent. terrible. That's the position of the darling infant, the believer still in the world. I write unto you, little children, because your sin is forgiven. That's what the coming under the blood, but you're still in Egypt.
But they're inside the room. What do they know?
It doesn't matter what they know.
Well, yes, I think it does matter. And that's the question I'm posing. They had no name for the Messiah. Now, that seems to have some impact. We have a name. We have a story. We have an event. We have things that manifested, whereas they had faith, hope.
The word hope isn't used in the Old Testament, except one, excuse me. It's used of a crevice in a rock where you go and crawl in to escape a storm. That's the only time that hope is used in the Old Testament. There's no word in Hebrew for the hope as in English, the expectation of some good thing.
Okay, scratch hope. But there was something. I mean, it's a question that...
But it's not a different God, Gary.
He's not doing anything different, and yet there's something that's different, but you're denying that it's different.
It's only the idea that it's... Moses saw the same thing Abraham saw, the same thing Abel saw. Abraham saw it. Moses saw it. Isaiah saw it. They saw the same thing.
They were looking forward in time.
Because only from the standpoint of, they weren't looking forward when they were in eternity. But they had to see eternity in order to see his day. They saw his day and were glad.
And we look back at all that are parables meant for us to see. And we see.
What?
But we also have the manifestation of the Messiah.
From my perspective, we have no more information than Abel did. He knew that he knew. So he didn't dig around in his flesh and in the dirt to try to find an offering. He saw the Lamb of God, and that was his offering. We could go through every point in the Old Testament. It would be the same thing. It's either the revelation of Christ, or it was the opposite. It's either pleasing men or pleasing God. Stop a minute and think. Jesus Christ had all the world was created by him and for him. By him it exists. And all things, he had the total and complete power. He could have stopped pain, suffering, poverty, death. He could have stopped him with a snap of his finger. There was nothing in the world that he didn't have the power to do. And again, it was only about his father's business, not his. He healed a few, but he healed them so that he could know he had that power to. Why didn't he heal everybody? He raised a few from the dead. Why didn't he raise everybody from the dead? Because it was only for him to see what his emptying, the test was. And you're only tested along the lines of something that you possess. If you understand God, if you're trying to understand God, the closest thing that we have to understanding God is Jesus Christ and what has been written about him.
What was that last word? Is Christ.
Jesus Christ and what has been written about him. can you grab a hold of that power that he had for a minute? He was in the form of God. He could have done anything. Really pisses me off because he could have delivered me from pain forever.
That was probably Lucifer's thought, you know, that with all this potential, and here God was only interested in one thing.
Well, this is a big issue, and if it. The one you and John brought up about God's dealing with the human race. Well, you said that you were troubled by the same thing John was.
Yeah, well, exactly. I think I said it yesterday. It's a little too declarative without some meat on it. You know, it's like a tension getter, but what do you really say? And I think it does help define the gospel. But to declare His love doesn't extend to everybody. I have a little.
I didn't say that. His love extends only at repentance. That's where, and that's available to all. And all have the equal. It's the great equalizer. Because the repentance is, the depth of repentance is equal for all. We had situations like we had with Shannon, who didn't have the capacity to think about it. But she didn't have the capacity to think her condition should be different than it is. So she was our example of innocence. Even with Lalo, the innocence is unbelievable. He prophesies all the time. He just says what's there. But if you can understand that those two positions, you know, I'm not saying who's saved and who isn't saved. That's not our business. It even goes down to him preaching to the dead. So, but I am saying, and again, from every example of the Old Testament to the power of Christ, which he didn't use, to today, God's only interested in those that are born again, that are born from above, that are born from this first estate. That's all he sees. His eye, he cannot see iniquity. And iniquity doesn't mean it's, oh, well, that's really a bad thing. Iniquity means self-seeking. Self-seeking is a broad, broad understanding.
Well, with that, then, his interest would go to those who haven't repented yet, that he knows will.
Well, then he only has, he's only interested in those that are born again, those that repent. I mean, you gotta either look from the bottom up or the top down.
Well, don't.
That's always the case.
Yeah, but the implication is we're looking from the bottom up and you're looking from the top down.
Well, I don't know what there was no implication except that we must confess the Lord Jesus, homo logio. We must speak the same thing as he speaks. The only way we can speak the same thing as he speaks is to be and see the same thing he saw. And that's from the top down. That's from the point of eternity. There's nothing about God from the standpoint of time and space that would make God seem to be just. I did this all the time on the radio when I had the talk show. We had all these well-known guests for years, and I'd ask them, does God love the world? Everyone said, oh man, praise God, he loves us so much, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, and what about the 80,000 babies that died in Rwanda or some other thing? Well, that was Satan. So God is losing the war? I mean, you come to an illogical, untautological place by this comic book theology. Because it's an image of God that you have created. That's what the purpose of Passover is, to destroy that. Because the image of Passover, the thing that come before the Passover, were the plagues. And the plagues' purpose were to wipe out the value system and the gods, the belief in the gods that Israel had accepted. And if you look carefully at every one of those plagues, which we have for years, there is no... You cannot come up with the idea of this quote-unquote just God based on our understanding from the history of Passover. That's why this is so important.
And we redefine justice for all things.
What?
We redefine justice for our own purposes.
Well, because justice is from the point of view of man. That's, again, that's from the... But justice from the point of view of man even is destroyed in the reading of the scriptures. There's no person that wants, again, if you're honest with yourself, the last thing in the universe you want is justice. Because you would lose. The only F word that's not allowed here is fairness. Is it fair? Well, it's the same. Fair is just another word for just, and we would be dust if God was just after our understanding.
Because we know privately. No,
for what we did. I mean, I'm guilty of so many sins, I can't even count them. That's why that experience with that young girl who was demon-possessed was so... She, in a male's voice, it articulated things that I had totally forgotten about. Anyway, John, what's going on? Same thing? We'll talk about it anytime you want. All right, we'll do...
I think that question's just a can opener.
What?
I think it's just a can opener, It's a question that it's like a dynamite on a mountain. We're trying to build a road to get through. To see something that's greater than that.
Question or statement? What are you talking about?
What?
Question or statement? What exactly are you talking about?
I'm talking about the statement that God doesn't care about
not
the human race. True or false is not the issue. It's that it stirs you up to look for what is the issue. And I believe it helps clarify the reality of what God's interest is. And it's not of this world, or it would be completely different than we as men.
really, I hope that whoever the city leaders are, that we, you have time to, these things that came to pass at midnight or on the Passover are incredible.
Well, something about midnight's the demarcation, where it went from one realm to another or something, where it was completed or line was crossed or something was better.
Well, I mean, like the firstborn seed of Egypt did thou kill at midnight. They did not find their wealth, which was their children, when they rose at night. The whole thing about the finger of God writing on the wall in Babylon allegedly came to pass at midnight. Mene, mene, tekel upharsin. You have been weighed in the balance and found to be eternally lacking. That's everybody.
So what's the parable of midnight? That's what we didn't quite get to.
Well, parable is that's more than likely, that's when a lot of the things that Jesus said that are in the scriptures came that late that night. And the midnight hour is the, it's the place where you're, where God, that's where if God is going to see you, he's going to see you in the midnight hour. He's going to see you when you are, he doesn't care what you do outwardly. He cares what's going on inside you. He cares whether or not your altar of incense or your thoughts came, originated in the blood from the altar. He cares whether or not you brought every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. He cares whether or not, I mean, if everything, 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 the only reason time and space exists is for the renewal of our minds. And you would be transfigured by the renewal of your mind. And the renewal of the mind must come to that place of repentance where emptiness is total. I had 1,000 things happen over the course of those years that I studied where I said to God, I'm going to throw the whole thing out if this isn't. At each case where I thought that I had them, thing that appeared to be a contradiction or appeared to be illogical held the deeper revelation than my mind could. It, when I looked at first, it seems like it was a contradiction, but you, what you see blows your mind. And that's why these attempts to make the Bible understandable to the human mind are so evil, because they deny the contradictions, and therefore they deny the power. They deny the revelation. And they make it understandable to the mind. They try to make the actual word of God pleasing to men. There's something purely evil about that. Again, you got to hear this one more time. Jesus Christ called the Jews that believed on him. He said, you are of your father the devil, and that's all you're capable of doing is what he does. That's where free will went out the window, because all of your allegedly free will is only what his will, the Satan's will is. And Satan doesn't tempt you to do evil, he tempts you to take your eyes off God and put them on the human race. There's been more people that have been turned away from God because of that than probably any other thing in history. And it's a biggie. So if you're still troubled by this, I ask that you would not do anything else until it's settled, again, until you find out the habitation for the Holy One of Israel. Don't give sleep to your eyes or rest to your head until you found out the habitation of the Holy One of Israel. All right? Take a big guy.